A sermon for the fourth Sunday in Advent, December 21st, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A sermon entitled, A Blessed Birthday Celebration. Whenever a baby is delivered into this world, it's a miracle. God is the one who made us male and female. He instituted the covenant of marriage, which is between a husband and wife, in the uniting of their bodies as well as their hearts, souls, and minds. God mysteriously knits together new human beings. These contain genetic information from both the mom and the dad to make them truly unique. Even identical twins are unique from each other. We might say that after any person is made, God breaks the mold. Well, at this time of year, we are excited about the anticipated arrival of a new baby. And what is odd about our expectation is that this baby was born over 2,000 years ago. But still, it's exciting and new, for this child truly was unique. The hymn we just sang expresses well why this is the case. It is because the child whose birth we are expecting is of the Father's love begotten. When we think about a child being begotten in love, we naturally think of the love that exists between a husband and wife. But this time, with this child, this is not the case. Instead, what is that the Father's love which begot his Son is love for fallen humanity. This includes you and me. And that we are among the fallen is self-evident, for it shows in our sins. We sin daily in thought, word, and deed. We sin not only by what we do, but what we fail to do. We don't love God with our whole heart. We do not love our neighbors as ourselves. For this we deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. But still, God is love, and God loves you and me. In the words of Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Today's text from Romans 1 reveals some of the uniqueness of Jesus, which makes him qualified to save mankind. St. Paul points out how Jesus was promised beforehand through God's prophets in the Scriptures. It is rightly said that the entire Old Testament points directly to Jesus. So many details of his life, death, and resurrection are predicted centuries prior. Jesus would one day come along and fulfill all of them. These include the prediction that he would be a descendant of David. And this is what Jesus was, for our text highlights that God's Son was descended from David according to the flesh. mother Mary's genealogy is traced back through David. In fact, that is why Jesus, who otherwise would have been born in Nazareth, had been born in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary had to return there under the orders from Rome to register for a census. At Christmas, we will read from Luke 2, where it is clearly stated how Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Legally, through Joseph, and biologically, through Mary, Jesus was a descendant of David. With this, another scripture was fulfilled from Micah 5. But you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. The place of his birth, related to his genealogy, had been foretold, for he would be born in Bethlehem. No one could argue that a number of babies born in Bethlehem could have their ancestry traced back to David, and you could be right in arguing that. However, there was another scripture that Jesus' unique birth fulfilled. This one is in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. How many babies were born, descendants of David, in Bethlehem, and whose mother was a virgin when he was born? Against both odds and impossibilities, there is but one, the little Lord Jesus himself. Though Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day under the old covenant, he did not come for baptism until he was an adult at the inauguration of the new covenant. Jesus presented himself to John at the Jordan to be baptized. All accounts report how John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. He also heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Our text from Romans mentions these things about Jesus when Paul notes how he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. It could only be because of who he is, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, that he might, for us men and for our salvation, come down from heaven. He came, as the angel revealed to Joseph, to save his people from their sins. The Father loved us, sending his only begotten Son. The Son loved us by becoming incarnate, and all this that he might redeem us. Once more, from the Nicene Creed, Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And this is why Jesus was born. He came to die as a sinner, though he never sinned. He died in the place of sinners. He substituted himself to die the eternal death we deserve for our sins. It is because of the upcoming cross that Jesus in a manger makes sense. Jesus died to make satisfaction for sins. Now, is there a way for you and me to know that the one begotten of the Father's love for the world, and who clearly came as predicted, a descendant of David, born in Bethlehem, and of a woman who, by her own admission, was still a virgin until after she had given birth to a son, that he succeeded in acquiring the world's salvation? Truly there is, which is also spoken of in our text from Romans. In addition to when he was baptized, Paul points out that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What we celebrate at Christmas is remarkable, that Jesus was born from the virgin's womb, and what is equally remarkable is that Jesus was raised from a virgin tomb. And the reason I call it that is because the scriptures speak of it. For we read in Luke 23 how a different Joseph took Jesus' body down from the cross and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in a tomb cut in stone, which no one had ever yet been laid. The women, along with Peter and John on Easter morning, found not only the stone rolled away from this tomb, but the burial cloth folded up and lying there, the tomb otherwise empty. Jesus had risen, just as the scriptures predicted, for example in Hosea 6, which speaks of how the Lord has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. And now today, more than 2,000 years later, the word goes out concerning what the Lord has done, that we might truly believe in Jesus, and thereby receive from him this grace and forgiveness that we so desperately require. Thank God for the apostles like Paul. In our text, he called himself a servant of Christ Jesus. This is because God had called him to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In this role, Paul heralded the good news, as the angels once did to the shepherds, letting them know, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Paul spoke of how he had received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus' name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. Those of you who are blessed to be parents no doubt recall the excitement that accompanied the miracle of the new birth of a little child. It's so significant that we annually celebrate birthdays. The greatest birthday to celebrate is that of Jesus, which we do upon December 25th, as well as 12 days that follow. After all, he was begotten of the Father's love for both you and me. He came from Mary's womb and later from the tomb, showing that we are loved by God and called to be saints. Thanks to this love, there is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A blessed birthday celebration is on its way, for which we thank God for his love in sending Jesus, his only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, from sin. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.